Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Resting Bitch with Allie Makovsky. This is episode 2 of my prolific, mesmerizing, can't stop listening podcast. Okay, I'm so happy that this is a weekly podcast because a lot has happened this past week and I'm very excited to share everything with you guys. I guess I'll start off with the I'm still coming down from this high that is called Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas on Friday. I had a goddamn blast. It doesn't even feel real. It was such a good trip. I haven't been to Vegas since I was 8 years old. And that's a rough estimate. I don't quite remember the last time I was in Vegas, but I remember I didn't have titties at the time. So I'm going to say around, you know, I could have been 1 year old. I could have been 12. That's pushing it. But somewhere between 1 and 12, I was in Vegas with no titties at the M&M store. I didn't have a good time then. I had a great time now. This was a way to really come back to Vegas and let them know what the fuck was up. I did a show. The biggest show I've ever done in my whole life. I think, I didn't look, I don't know for sure, but I think that the venue sat 1,200 people. It's 1,200 noggins in one building in Vegas. That is a lot of failing livers in one crowd. It was so much fun. I was, leading up to this, I was like, this is the biggest show of my life. I'm going to be like so nervous. Oh my God. And then I saw the venue and I think I had overhyped it so much in my head that by the time I got there and I saw the venue, it wasn't as intimidating. And so for whatever reason, I was like not nervous at all to perform, which was like so weird because I was expecting to be shaking. I got some butterflies when we like walk through like the back like entrance and there's like security with us and you feel like a fucking rock star. I got some butterflies in my stomach. And then it's me, Joe Rogan, Ian Edwards, all backstage. Joe Rogan uses the voice of God to bring me up. He uses the microphone in the back. He's like, Las Vegas, make some noise. Everyone goes nuts. And then he's like, he brings me up. And there was an earthquake that day. 2 hours before the show, there was an earthquake that happened in California, but it was like, it was out close to Vegas. And so I was shaking. I was at first, I haven't been in an earthquake, you know, in a while. Never that big. So I remember the first earthquake that was like big was fifth grade for me. I was freaking out. I was crying. I was like, I want my parents. But I kind of love earthquakes low key. It's a little bit fun. There's a thrill to it. But when you're alone in Vegas, you're like, this is not how I was expecting to go out. You know, I was thinking like Selena style, some crazy person would shoot me, you know, take my fame and fortune. Not an earthquake at the Mirage Hotel and Casino. It's not how you see it going down. She died doing what she loved, laying naked in a hotel bed, you know? But that earthquake happened, and at first I was like, huh, maybe it's just like a big housekeeping man walking by. And then it kept going, and I was like, maybe it's all of the housekeeping people. And then I realized it was definitely an earthquake. Yeah, it was pretty scary, but I opened up my set talking about the earthquake, got everyone engaged on the same page. We all went through the earthquake. We all experienced it. So we united with the fear of death, which is really what comedy is, just evading death. And then I did my set, did the classics, did the bangers. It was a blast. It was so good. I did 10 hot minutes up top. I brought up Ian Edwards, who killed. He's so funny. Joe complimented me at a bunch, which was really tight and cool and felt really nice because he's seen me like the past year or maybe less than a year, like you know, opening for him locally and doing like hosting gigs locally for him. And so for him to see me in that venue, out of town, in Vegas, you know, it was a totally different experience. And he was super impressed, and that felt nice because it feels like, you know, I'm trying to like show my dad, like, look what I've done. Because my dad doesn't give a fuck. My dad was going to come to the show, and I was like, you don't even come to the shows that are near where you live. You're not going to fly out to Vegas to come see me. So, you know, my dad wasn't there, but my comedy father was. And that's what matters. So then Joe goes up. He does like an hour of all new stuff. He's a madman. He works so hard. It's like so crazy to watch his work ethic. Yeah, he fucking killed for an hour. And then he gets off stage and you know, we're all just talking, shooting the shit. And he goes, oh, yeah, I think we're going to meet up with Steven Tyler. Oh, you think? You think we're going to? Okay. That's what we're doing. We're just meeting up with Steven Tyler now. I'm so happy. I didn't know that Aerosmith was in the audience before I went up. Or else I would have really just... I probably would have just done Dream On for 10 minutes straight. Dream On! That's my go-to karaoke song because I try and hit that high note. And it never really works, but everyone loves the effort. If you do it with enough confidence, you can hit any note you want. You don't have to. And here's the thing. I do hit a note, a high note. There is a high note that I'm hitting, but it's just not the high note. There. So, oh my God, it was the craziest experience. So we go to meet up with Steven fucking Tyler. We walk down this like secret hallway corridor, and there he is, the beautiful god that is Steven Tyler, standing at the end of the hall. Me, Joe, and Ian and Jamie Vernon are all walking down the hall, and Steven Tyler is mean mugging me. He's just staring me the fuck down, and I'm like, oh my god, he hates my comedy. He does not like me. And we get closer and closer, and he's still looking at me, and he points his finger and he goes, you were awesome. And I was like, oh my God. And then I got closer and he goes, and those eyebrows. And I was like, real recognizes real. Steven Tyler fucks with my eyebrows. And he saw my necklace, my one necklace. And he goes, you are number one. And he was just so cool and like, he was so funny and silly and just like a down-ass dude. I got to meet his whole squad, his girlfriend's sister, some other badass ladies who I don't know what they do, but, you know, they're with Steven Tyler, so it doesn't matter, you know? Once you're in with Steven, you don't have to do anything else, you know? You're either with him or you're against him. Yeah, he was so cool. And there was one moment when we were hanging out where he coughed. He was like clearing his throat and he coughed, and the cough was so on pitch and beautiful. I wanted to cry. I wanted to give him Ebola so I could hear him cough more. Cause it was the most beautiful. I didn't know that coughs could sound nice. And it was like, ow. I was like, oh my God. I want to put a little feather under his nose and have him sneeze and see what that sounds like. Achoo! God, he was so cool. Man, it's the most likes I've gotten on Instagram too. So shout out Steven Tyler for helping that. No amount of booty pics or titty pics were ever going to get me as close to the amount of likes that you were able to give me. So, you know, I appreciate that. That was super fun. And I'm like, how can this get any better? How can this get any better? I've just had the set of my life, you know, it was the set of my life, but it's like, there's going to be more now, you know, but it's like, that was like a huge step in my career. How's this going to get better? The next night, we go to the UFC. And here's the thing. Here's where I get real fired up. I have never been interested in the UFC. Okay? It's just not my thing. I'm not into it. I didn't grow up with anyone being into it in my immediate family. My dad's into golf. My mom is into Wendy Williams' talk show. That's what I grew up with. Tiger Woods and Wendy Williams. And this podcast is sponsored by Menthol Jewel Pods. That's not true, but I would really like to be sponsored because these shits are expensive. And I don't like the off-brand ones. Some people like, try the blueberry one. And I'm like, Jewel brand doesn't have blueberry. And they go, no, 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 it's not Jewel brand, but it's so much better. It's not better. I don't fuck. I'm brand loyal. I'm a Jewel girl, and I always will be. Anyway, I've never been into the UFC, never been into fighting. I don't know anything about it. I used to think the people who watched it are like, you know, loners, losers, potential school shooters. I don't know if I'm wrong, but after having gone, I'm one of those people now. It's so exciting. It's so thrilling. It's wild. And then I used to think that the people fighting were just getting out some childhood trauma, some anger. They're just violent people, which also might not be true, but there's so much more than that. There's so much more. You know, you can't judge a book by its cover. I've seen enough Rocky movies to know this. These people have hearts. They have souls, and they're so beautiful. I'm so impressed by fighting. I'm one of those people now. I'm a UFC girl. Monster energy drink till I die. I'm gonna get a fucking tap out tattoo. I'm gonna get a monster pickup truck. I'm gonna wear shorts that go to my knees. And I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna abandon my family. I'm gonna get married, start a family, abandon them. And I'm going to get into the UFC. Anyway, I'm going to tell you all about it because I feel like there might be people here who are interested in it. And I'm going to spill all the tea for you about fighting. And if you're not interested in it, this is still an entertaining story, I think. Okay, so here's what went down. I show up with Rogan, who's like a god at this event. You walk in with him, you know, everyone like looks away. They're like, thank you for being here, you kind sir. No, actually, everyone's like really cool with him. He's super cool with everyone, but everyone like loves him. I walked in and I told Ian Edwards, I was like, oh my God, Joe's like a celebrity here. And then I realized he's like a celebrity everywhere, but especially at the UFC, I was like, oh my God, these guys like love Joe. So we walk in through security, which is like so crazy they made us do that. And we walk in through security. There's this dude standing in front of us. Joe and him are talking. He's like a young, smaller dude. Joe introduces me to him. He goes, this is like Marlon. He's fighting today. And I'm like, oh my God, you're a fighter. Like I start freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, you're a fighter. Like that's so cool. And he happened to be at my show the night before. And so he was fangirling over me. He was like, that show is awesome. I could never do what you guys do. And so we're just like fangirling over each other. I'm like, I can't wait to see you fight. Like I'm acting at this point like we've been training together for years. I'm like, this is going to be amazing. We've worked so hard. You know, it's all come to this moment. And then we get into the T-Mobile Arena, which is like huge and beautiful and such a nice place to be. And the energy in there is so fun. The lighting's amazing. The people who are there are so fired up. And Joe shows us where we're sitting. And I almost shit my pants, for real. I should have brought like 5 changes of underwear for different reasons at this UFC fight. There were like 3 moments that I shit my pants, and then there were like 2 moments where I just got a little excited juice going on, you know. There's some, you know, hot dudes. Luke Rockhold, I think his name is. He's like a model. He got his jaw knocked the fuck out. I think this is like, okay, so here's the thing. I don't know that much, but I've been doing my research. He's gotten his jaw knocked out, I think, twice now recently. He's not doing too well. He might have to call it after this last one. He's not doing well, but he's so good looking. He's going to be fine, you know, that he's going to be fine. Anyway, the first fights begin. The first fight starts out with two badass chicks, and they brought the blood. When I saw where I was sitting, I was like, splash zone, baby. I want to get blood on. I'm hoping someone just fucking oozes on me, you know? Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but I saw a lot of blood, and I saw a lot of spit. There's a lot of mouth lubrication that's going on at these fights. I used to think it was so violent, but then you watch it in person, and I know I'm such an idiot, but there's so much, like, thought and planning and preparation and technique that goes into this. Like, it's not just about fucking... It's not a street fight. It's not that Disneyland family street fight shit. This is preparation. Oh my God, my friend Diego Lopez, New York comic, good dude, fighter, lover and a fighter and a comedian. I was texting him because he's like, he's my MMA dude. I might be saying that wrong. He might not be like MMA. Maybe it's jiu-jitsu. I still am figuring it all out. I don't know what's happening. But he teaches in New York. I always talk to him when I have some sort of fighting question, which doesn't happen often, but sometimes I'm curious. And I'm hitting him up and I'm like, dude, I saw my first fucking fight. And I'm like, I'm so sad. Like, they're hurt, you know? I guess I just would never want my face beat up like that. Like, the rest of my body I'd be interested in. But your face, like, when you see that, oh, it hurts. It hurts to see. And he said this beautiful, ugh, he's such a poet. He said, I gotta pull it up. Because it was so true. I mean, oh God, we have so many texts. Because now I'm like fired up about the UFC and MMA and stuff. So I just keep texting him about all the insider gossip and drama with the fights. Okay, so I said, there's so much blood. I'm sad. All caps. He said, I know it can get pretty brutal. Just remember, this isn't violence. This is an exchange of information. It's a beautiful display of courage, discipline, and athleticism. And it's so true. That's what it is. It's so fucking fascinating. These guys are rock stars. God, I was so impressed. And so then the guy who I met earlier in security with Joe, it's his turn to fight. And I feel connected to this dude. I'm rooting for him. I'm cheering him on. You know, I'm like his ringside coach at this point. I feel a part of the team. He gets into the octagon and I'm super close and I'm like cheering him on. I'm like, woo! And he looks over because like everyone looks at Joe. Everyone like if someone wins a fight, the first thing they do is they like look for where Joe's sitting and they're like, see what I did? Like they're all trying to like, maybe it's because their dads are out of the picture and so Joe is also their dad. Joe's my comedy dad. Maybe Joe's their like MMA dad. That's how I perceived it. I could be totally wrong. But they all want to like kind of show off to him, which is so funny. I love it. Like they just knock someone out and they're like, Joe, what do you think? I'm sitting right behind Joe. So Marlon's like in his little, Marlon Vera. He's in his little like in the ring, in the octagon. And I'm cheering him on and he looks over at me and he like gives me a nod. He like acknowledges me and I was like, oh my God. I just gave him the confidence he needed. He's gonna win. And then my guy wins the fucking thing. I was so proud. All of our hard work did pay off. And it felt like I won. You know, it wasn't just a win for him. It was a win for all of us. And he gets out of the ring. And all the fighters walk out to the left to go backstage and stuff. And he like turns to the right. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, he's coming over here. I'm like freaking out. This is like the craziest shit I've ever seen. He comes to the right. He like does this like Spanish press little interview thingy. And then he walks past them and gave me a hug. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was like so cool. And I was like, am I about to be in love with a fighter? Is this how a romance begins? And then I started following him on Instagram and saw his beautiful wife and kids. And I was like, nope, he's just a nice dude. And that's tight. And I respect that. So that was super exciting. Then I watched Amanda Nunes and Holly Holm. And Amanda Nunes is a beast. She's so good. It was such a fun fight to watch. She knocked out Holly Holm with a fucking kick to the head, to the domey. And then the last fight, which was iconic, was Ben Askren versus Jorge Masvidal, a.k.a. Urban Jesus, a.k.a. Ghetto Jesus, a.k.a. the fucking king of the ring. He had the record. History was made that night. He fucking knocked out Ben Askren in less than 5 seconds with a fucking flying knee kick. Right when they started the fight, he just ran up to him and was like, yeah. And it was over. Lights out for Ben. And now I'm such a fan of Ben and Jorge and everyone. I'm so obsessed with it. I can't stop thinking about it. John Jones won his fight with Thiago Santos or something. That was kind of a boring fight. Boring fight for me as someone who doesn't know much about technique or anything. There wasn't as much like action and fast movements. It was kind of more of a thought out match. But it was sweet. And then when he won, he brought up his whole like team, you know, his dad, his brother, his dad's wrestling coach. I was just taking it all in and I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And then when I flew out of the airport, when I was at the Las Vegas airport, I was going through security and I saw John Jones's dad's wrestling coach, who was on stage after John Jones won. And I went up to him. He's like this older dude, just like this small little white man. And I was like, were you at the fight last night? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, that was so sweet watching you on stage. And then we talked for like an hour. I might be exaggerating, but we did talk for a long time. We took a really cute selfie. His name's Frank Moretta, I believe. He lives in New York. He's a wrestling coach still. He's like retired, but he still helps out. Man, I'm a UFC girl. Uh-oh. Oopsies. I'm living for it. I thought I'd sit this way for the podcast, and it actually is quite uncomfortable. And someone warned me that it would be uncomfortable, but I think it's worth it. I like the way it looks. It looks so cash. My mom said she didn't like that the mic was blocking my face last time because it was distracting for how beautiful I am. My mom's sweet until she's not. My mom, like, tries to give me nice advice, and obviously she, like, means well and always is looking out for me, but sometimes it comes out the wrong way. Like, one time, like, 2 years ago, or maybe, yeah, probably 2 years ago, I was looking for a job. I got fired from yet another job. And my mom's like, Allie, you know how, like, models nowadays, they don't really want them to be, like, skinny or classically attractive. Why don't you give it a shot? And she heard me say that once, and she was like, I've never said that in my life. You're making that up. And I'm like, I'm not making that up. You did say that. You just think in your head that it was not what you said and that you were like, you're beautiful. Be a model. But that's really what she said, which is kind of nice, but not nice. And then when I shaved off all my hair, she said, you used to be so beautiful. Why'd you do that? You were so beautiful. I had to, Jenny, okay? Leave me alone. My mom came up to see me before I went to Vegas. I didn't know how much time I was going to do when I was in Vegas, so I was just prepared for anything. And my mom came up to see me, and Dee Burdett, who books the Ice House in Pasadena, she gave me a 20-minute spot on her Tuesday show at the Ice House, which is like comedians doing 20 minutes. And it's Taco Tuesday, so they hook them up with, like, this sick-ass taco deal that's so good. But I did 20 minutes there, and my mom got to see me. She's never seen me do that long of a set, and she was, like, so impressed, and she loved it. My mom's, like, my number one fan. She is low-key, like, kind of a stage mom. But, you know, it's fun for her, so she got to see that. And then I went up at the Comedy Store later that night and did, like, a five-minute set, and she was like, oh, my God. She was just, oh, my God. I should have written this down, but I'm glad I remembered. My mom is a comedy fan, which is kind of cool, kind of weird. That was a good hit. So my mom's like a comedy fan. She listens to all the podcasts. She's LinkedIn, you know, she's hooked. She's on it. And we were at the Comedy Store. I had a development spot because I'm a door girl there. They give the people who work the door, do like seating and stuff like that, they give them spots. And so I had my development spot that night. So I went after the Ice House, and it was a crazy night to be there. I take my mom up. She watches my set. We go down to the smoking area, and Joey Diaz comes by, and my mom, he sits next to my mom. I'm like, Joey, this is my mom. And my mom's like, Joey, how's your daughter? She, like, knows about his daughter. I didn't even really know he had kids, you know. She's like, how's your daughter? Do you have pictures? She's, like, invested in his life. She's laughing. She's taking it all in. And then Joe Rogan comes out. My mom's like, oh, my God, Allie's so excited to go to Vegas. Thank you for taking her. She, like, we're so happy. And Joe's like, okay, cool. And then, what else? My mom, we run into Tony Hinchcliffe. My mom's like, Tony, how are you? I miss going to Kill Tony all the time and watching. And, you know, she's just like, she's loving it. She's having a great time so far. You know, she got to watch her prized possession daughter perform twice that night. She gets to see these comics that she listens to on podcasts and knows and is a fan of. And then we go around the corner, and I see Greg Fitzsimmons is on in the original room. And my mom loves Greg Fitzsimmons. Every time I see Greg, I say, my mom loves you. And he's like, okay, cool. And so I'm like, hey, mom, wait right here. So I have her wait in the hallway. She doesn't realize that Greg is on stage. So I go, oh, just wait right here. Greg gets off stage. I say, what's up to him? And I go, hey, my mom's here. Can you say hi to her? She's super excited. And so then Greg meets my mom. And my mom, like, my mom's like, Greg, oh, my God, I love your podcast. She's, like, just in heaven. And then I feel like there was someone else. We run into, like, Eric Griffin. It was, like, a crazy, crazy night at the Comedy Store. I feel like Bobby Lee was probably there, but I don't know if we got a chance to see. I think he might have left earlier than when we were leaving. But it was like a wild night. It was a wild night. Sebastian was there. We didn't see him, but like it was just a good night at the Comedy Store. This was last Tuesday. Yeah, my mom thought that she like had cancer. And I was, like, doing a make-a-wish for her before telling her she had cancer. She was so happy. She was, like, texting me when she got home. Just, you know. Oh, we saw Theo Vaughn. My mom was freaking out. She made me and him take a picture together. She was like, will you take a picture with my daughter? When my mom comes to the Comedy Store, it feels like a parent-teacher conference when I'm in school. Where she'll be like, how's Allie doing? That's exactly how it feels, but she loves it, and, you know, it's nice to have family that's around and that supports me, and, yeah. So that was, like, the craziness of, my week. I feel like I jotted some points down to talk about, but the UFC really took over. Last night I was just talking about the UFC all night. I was so excited to finally talk to people about it. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Marlon Chito Vera. Such a good fighter. I didn't realize or know this, but he actually lives in Irvine, which is not that far from here. And I was like, dude, I DM him. I'm like, dude, I need to watch another fight. I'm going to start taking boxing classes. Like, I'm fucking in it. And he said, oh, I live in Irvine. You can come down anytime and fight with me. Dude, this dude tapped out another guy. Another guy tapped out in his presence. And I'm going to fight his ass. What if I just am secretly really good in it all? Oh, 4th of July happened. Yeah, the 4th of July did happen. I went to the beach. I had so much sand in all the wrong places. I went in the water and I got home and I took my bathing suit off and I was like, I could have started my own beach with how much sand was in my bathing suit bottoms. It wasn't healthy, but maybe it was exfoliating in a way. I don't know. There's a lot of sand. It's titty season. Once 4th of July happens, it's officially titty season. And that's my favorite season. Because with comedy, you have to kind of like, you know, you don't want to be too distracting on stage, at least in my opinion. Can't have these titties busting out. But on Instagram, I'm not doing comedy on Instagram. I'm posting these titties. But then I delete my post because sometimes people say too gross of things and I forget that like anyone can look at my Instagram and that's kind of frightening. I posted a butt picture in Vegas and I was like, oh, this is kind of silly and like whatever. I have a decent butt. And then I got some messages and I was like, y'all don't deserve this ass. I might repost it though. If I'm ever in need for likes, I'll repost it. I was talking to my friend because I was telling him like, how much I love staying in hotels, like just getting like hotel sleep. I like it. I don't do it often right now. And so every time I do, it's really exciting. I'm sure like once I start traveling more and staying in hotels more often, I'll be like, fuck hotels, fuck traveling. And I'll be like jitter, bitter and jaded. But for now, I fucking love it. And I was telling my friend, like my bed is so uncomfortable and I've been having such bad sleep. And it's so fucked up because that's like what I've been doing for the longest amount of time. Like breathing and sleeping should be where I thrive. Breathing so far, pretty good. I have a good track record with breathing. But sleeping, when I can't get a good night's sleep, I'm like, what's going on? I've been doing this. Like this is where I excel. Like fucking Jorge Masvidal is a fighter. I'm a damn sleeper. And when I don't get good sleep, it really makes me question a lot of things. I have good chemistry with my bed, you know? It's my longest relationship. I have a lot of memories in that bed, good and bad. And then it's going to turn its back on me and be like, good luck sleeping tonight, bitch. I need to get a nice bed, but I'm going to wait till I have more money because beds are dumb expensive. Dumb expensive. And then I'm going to wait until I don't have as many roommates as I have now. Once I downsize in a way, like in terms of roommates and stuff, then I'm going to upgrade in beds. I'm going to get a bunk bed just so I can have two beds. If I'm not getting good sleep on bottom bunk, guess what? It'll be a top bunk night. Everyone's doing the bottle cap challenge. I made sure to make a note of that. Hey, stop doing the bottle cap challenge. You don't have to. No one's actually challenging you. Did you know that? Just because other people do it doesn't mean you're being challenged. It's not an official challenge. John Mayer did it first. And as we all know, when John Mayer does something, he does it the best, and then everyone else has to stop. He started it and ended it all in one post. And then other people are out here trying to do it. People are out here with Aquafina bottles. If you're drinking Aquafina, delete your account. get rid of your phone. How do you have a phone if you're still drinking Aquafina? Dasani? I saw a Dasani bottle challenge. Hey, here's a challenge. Stop. I'm starting the stop challenge. It's when someone does something viral and then you don't do it. But here's the funny thing. The only reason why I'm saying this is because I haven't done it. Because that is totally something I would do. And I'm just salty because everyone else is doing it. I'm going to make a bottle cap challenge video. And it's going to be with a Voss water bottle, the glass one. It'll be with Fiji. I'm going to get the most expensive water. You know what's crazy? We're doing the fucking water bottle challenge. Meanwhile, there's people who don't even have water and we're like, let's just get rid of this cap. Let's just toss the cap. And then they just pour the water out probably. They're like, well, we opened it and we don't want to drink it. We're just going to pour the water out. John Mayer is also my favorite comedian. People ask me, who are your comedic inspirations? John Mayer, for sure. He's the funniest dude out there. I love John Mayer. Shout out to John Mayer. Just shout out, you know, not for any particular reason, just in general. I want to be John Mayer. I donated blood today. How much time am I at already? 37. Okay, tight. I got my blood drawn today. And yeah, I did it because I wanted people to think I'm a good person, obviously. I am a good person, or else I would have just stolen like a I donated blood sticker. I actually donated blood. Therefore, I'm a decent person, but I also wanted people to know about it. That's why I'm posting about it on Instagram and telling you on the podcast. The reason why I donated blood, though, is because I've been watching Grey's Anatomy again, starting at season one. And there was an episode where they're like, we need blood. There's not enough blood. And I was like, I'll help you. So I went to get my blood drawn today. And they had me hold it when it was in that bag. When they were finished, they had me hold it. And I was like, don't give this to me. I just took it out. I don't need it anymore. It's yours. But it was so crazy. It's warm, obviously. But like, you know, I'm kind of a dum-dum. So I'm like, oh my God, the blood is warm. That's so crazy. I'm alive. But it was nice. It was a nice red. It was really deep. Red. I'm healthy. I have low blood pressure. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's bad. She said, well, it's better than high blood pressure. I go, oh, is that your doctor's opinion? Is that what you're telling me? What does that mean? I think, does that mean I'm chill? Because I think there has to be a reason why I'm like, you know, chill. It's my fucking heart, dude. I got the chillness. I got chronic chillness running through these veins. I can't believe I'm still doing a podcast. It's so weird to me that I'm doing this. It feels like I'm just doing a vlog. Someone was asking me, you know, because I posted the first one last week. And, you know, some of my friends were like, how's it going? Like, I don't know. It feels like I'm just leaving behind a suicide video. It's like that Netflix show 13 Reasons Why where the girl kills herself and then leaves tapes for everyone who, like, made her kill herself. That's what this feels like. Every podcast episode is just me eventually leading up to my death. Rate and subscribe, comment, like, share with your friends. To keep me alive. Just kidding. But it does feel weird. It feels like I'm going up to Mars or something and I'm like sending this tape back to my family. It doesn't feel normal by any means. But I was trying to like before, like I kept wanting to like come up with this like brilliant idea for a podcast, make it perfect, have everything just the way that it should be. For a podcast. And then I just couldn't figure it out. And I realized if I don't just do one, then it's never going to happen. And that's my advice. Just fucking do it because you'll figure it out. Look at the first episode, I was sitting up. This episode, I'm laying down. I thought the laying down was going to be the chill, cool move. I might reconsider because my back is not doing too great right now. But I'm on my parents' insurance, so I will stop by my chiropractors after this and get my back busted. Dude, I love my chiropractor. He's so cool. His name, I'm not going to mention. I almost did. He's a nice dude. He's Canadian. He gives me the giggles. I think it's because he's like just such a genuine, nice dude that I get like uncomfortable around him because I feel dirty. I giggle. He'll like be adjusting me and I'm like, hee 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 hee. I think every episode I'll just eventually burp towards the end. Yeah, I love the chiropractor. I also need to get a massage. I don't need to. That's like, you know, but I would really like to. What was I talking about before that? Oh, yeah. Doing the podcast. Sometimes you just have to like do things because if you try and overthink it, it's just not going to happen. And too many times that's happened to me where I want to do something the right way or I want it to be like how I think it's supposed to be. And then I never do it, or I start and then I get discouraged and I stop. But this, I was like, I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And yeah, you just got to do that. Someone asked me on Instagram. I get this a lot and I feel like I should just save some people some time. There's people who will hit me up and be like, I live in this area, you know, let's say Missouri, some small ass town in Missouri. I want to start comedy and move to LA. I want to move to LA and start doing stand-up. What do you think I should do? Just start wherever's closest to you and then just see how it goes. Don't fucking just jump without having tried it. I would say just see how it goes and see where it takes you. So just baby steps. Look for the open mics in your area. Start going to them. And then just kind of reevaluate it like a month in. And then reevaluate the next month and see what you want to do from there. Yeah, man. Oh, my God. I didn't even... Okay. So I met Steven Tyler the first night in Vegas. And then after the UFC fights... We went to dinner, me, Joe, and Ian. We went to dinner. And fucking David Lee Roth from Van Halen ate dinner with us. And then Bruce motherfucking Buffer was at the same restaurant. And then he sat with us for dinner. And it was just the most wild experience I've ever had in my life. And then on the flight home... There was this guy sitting peacefully behind me, like two rows back. To be fair, he was good looking, and that's why I remembered him. But I also remembered him because he was sleeping so beautifully and calmly, and it wasn't a smooth flight. And I just remember thinking, like, man, he is so comfortable right now. And then I was working at the Comedy Store last night, and I'm checking IDs at the front patio. And I, like, look at this dude, and I'm like, were you just in Vegas? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, you're on my flight home. And I really seemed like a creeper. But I had to let him know what's up. It's really humbling, you know, doing those shows in Vegas. Like, you know, going to the UFC, doing all this cool stuff. And then taking the trash out at the Comedy Store the night after. Oh, and then I did this show. Oh, my God. So I get home from Vegas on Sunday. My sister and I had a surprise party for our oldest sister. Her friends came over. We scared the shit out of her. I thought my sister was gonna die. Like, she freaked the fuck out. It was scary. It was just a bunch of young white women on her staircase when she came home. It was frightening. It was a frightening sight. And we threw a surprise party. And then that night, I'd gotten in from Vegas that morning. Surprise party for my sister that evening. Comedy show in Long Beach that night. It was not a packed show. I went up first. I wouldn't say that I bombed, but it was not an environment for good comedy to take place. That was very humbling. I was like, wow, you know, what a ride this comedy journey is. And then the next night, last night, I'm working at taking out trash at the Comedy Store. But it was beautiful. It's fun. It's all, you know, part of the damn thing. And yeah, I think that's it. I think that's going to be it. Do you think that's enough time to wrap? 45 minutes. Dude, thanks for joining me. Thanks for listening. I'm still figuring out what this is, but I'm happy that you're here with me for it. Oh, what do I have to say? Follow me on Instagram. See them titties live. My Instagram is not Allie Mac. You probably already know that if you don't hop on the Mac train. Choo-choo. And then I have all my comedy shows and dates and stuff posted on my website, which is www.alliemakovsky.com. I'm coming to Sacramento later this month with Andrew Santino. I'm so excited. It's my first time like featuring for a weekend. Like, this is exciting. I'm pumped. That guy's so funny. Oh my God. Anyway, so I'm going to be with him in Sacramento at the Punchline August 18th, 19th, and 20th. Come to the show. Tell him after the show, if you go, be like, I think that girl should have headlined. Just like kind of roast him a little bit because it's fun. And that's it. Okay, bye.